That this Saturday we're having a chicken barbecue, and all the money we raise is going to go and help support our Guyana missions team. And it's exciting to be able to send a group to a foreign field. We're excited about that, and we're excited about all that are going to be part of that. You know, every time that you do something like that for the Lord, you'll find it's life-changing. And I believe that this is the first of many. Amen? You know, I believe that God can take a place like Palmyra, Pennsylvania, and he can touch the world with it. And that doesn't mean we go to every place, but we can certainly be involved. Amen? And there are senders and there are senders and goers. So you're either a goer or a sender. Sometimes you're both. Amen? So praise God. And we're glad that you're here tonight. And we're grateful. We want to just pray over our tithes and offerings. You know, it's important to develop a giving nature. Amen? God is a giver. And I'm blessed because there were certain women in Luke chapter 8, verse 2. It says, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. Everybody say, many others. Which ministered unto him of their substance. Now, King James, you say, ministered unto them. They supported Jesus' ministry. And they did it with their finances. Amen? And God had touched their life in some way. And so then, because of their connection with him, they were supporters. Amen? So be a supporter of the Lord. And be a giver of your tithes and offerings. So, Father, thank you for every gift and every giver. We call them blessed of you and highly favored. And thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them and that you will protect them, provide for them, and lead and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And then the last Saturday of the month, we're going to have our men's breakfast of encouragement, the Barnabas group, and we're going to start at 8 a.m. instead of 8:30, because also that day we're going to have our release time picnic, and so encourage the men to come out on Saturday. I think it's the 31st. We'll have our breakfast of encouragement. So praise God. I think that's everything that's happening at the moment. You can always look in our bulletins, see what's happening. Praise the Lord. Well, did you come ready to get your faith fed tonight?
Yes, amen.
God's got some good things for us. And I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to talk about some things that help us believe. And then in the middle of that, we're going to find out how to overcome a famine. All right? So in Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to start it would help if I'm in Matthew instead of Luke. All right, let's go to verse 27, Matthew 9, 27. And when Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Okay, so what did these two blind men do? They began following him, all right? And they began crying out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Okay? So they were doing and saying. And as he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. How did they find him? You ever think about that? They certainly were tuned into his voice. And Jesus said unto him, believe you that I am able to do this? And they answered, they said unto him, yes, Lord. Let me ask you something. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, do you believe that God is able to do it? The only question you, the only answer you need to have is yes. He didn't ask them if they understood it. He didn't ask them if they knew how it was going to happen. He just asked them, do you believe if I'm able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Okay? Let's just say that again. Let's just give our response to the Lord. Do you believe that he's able to do this? Yes. Yes, Lord. Okay? Isn't believing simple? Okay? And then he touched their eyes. I want you to notice, he was responding to their faith. He was responding to what they said they believed. Yes, we believe that you're able to do this. Yes. And so he touched their eyes. Notice, what else did he do? Come on, right there in verse 29. What? He was saying. Where does our faith come from? Comes from what? Hearing the word. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. Is he not the word? Okay. He touched their eyes, saying, according to what? Your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They couldn't keep quiet about it. But I call this a positive belief. All right? They came in contact with Jesus. And because they contacted Jesus, you know, they began to pursue him. They began to follow him. They began to cry out after him. In other words, he became their object, all right? He became their focus. He became their desire, all right? And he just simply said, he didn't even say, can I pray for you? He didn't say, can I lay my hands on you? He said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Their evidence for what was about to happen was only based on his word and what they believed about it. Well, they believed he was able to do it. He touched their eyes. They believed he was able to do it. He did it, and that was it. Their eyes were opened based on their faith. Isn't that awesome? So when you're facing situations, you got to look at what you believe about your situation. What do you believe about your finances? What do you believe about your physical condition? Ask yourself, what do you believe? What is your belief based on? Is it based on what you feel, what your past experience was, what someone else said, your opinion, or whatever? What is your belief based on? Their belief was based on him. They put their faith in him. They didn't go to anybody else. They weren't following anybody else, but they were following Jesus. And they were healed, and you know, he told them not to tell anything. You know, wouldn't that be hard to get healed of blindness and not be able to tell anybody? Well, Jesus asked that a lot of times. Not for people not to go and tell, because he had a work to do, and if they were telling what he was doing, it was kind of clogging up the work so to speak. Okay? And let's go on to verse 32. And they went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Let me tell you something. When the devil possesses anybody, they become dumb. That just means he couldn't speak. But I just like the way the Bible says it. The man wasn't dumb until he was possessed by the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I want you to notice what he did. He did twice as much teaching and preaching as he did healing. Why? Why would you go out and teach and preach and then heal? Because he wanted to build their faith. So while he was teaching and while he was preaching, people were hearing the truth. And you can't believe the truth until you hear the truth. And once they heard the truth, they believed it. And that when they believed it, it released the power that was in it. Okay? All right? Let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 22 through 24. Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Say this with me. Say, I have faith in God. Where does your faith need to be? It needs to be in God. Your faith should not be in how many people are praying for you. The amount of people praying for you it doesn't matter. Amen? But too many times, people put their faith in the amount of people praying for them. Oh, I got 100 people praying for you. Yeah, but do you know what they're praying? Do you know what their prayers are? You don't know if their prayers are effective. So you can't have faith in the amount of people praying for you. Now, it's okay to get people to pray for you. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying don't put your faith in it. All right? Don't let that be where you rest your belief in that thing. Okay? Jesus said plainly here, have faith in God. Your faith needs to be in God. All right? God doesn't change. God doesn't move. God is fixed. God is steadfast. God is eternal. That's something you need to put your faith in. Okay? Then he said, for verily or truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, okay? He's talking about speaking to mountains. Now, it could be a physical mountain, but a mountain is really an obstacle that's in your way, okay? A physical sickness can be a mountain because it's in your way of leading a productive life. And Jesus said here, you got to say to the mountain. What do you tell the mountain? Be removed, be cast into the sea. Now, then he said, you shall not doubt in your heart, but you shall what? Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. Now, let me deal with this for a minute. If you are in the habit of not believing what you say, in ordinary conversations, it's going to be hard for the mountain to move when you speak to it. If you're having ordinary conversations and you don't believe the words that you say, you don't believe the words that you use, then when it comes time to speak to the mountain is going to be like, huh? What are you saying? You have got to work on your words every day. All right? You cannot focus 6 days a week on something that's negative and let negative words and negative thoughts come out of your mouth and then expect to speak to the mountain one day and expect the thing to move. Faith is a lifestyle. We're supposed to walk by faith, right? Not by sight. Okay? So make sure that you believe what you say in ordinary conversations. Don't say something that's hurtful and say, oh, I was just joking. Because you know what? That confuses your heart. And if you've been in the habit of confusing your heart, when it goes to operate in faith, it's going to be confused. Okay? Our belief occurs in the heart. And so everybody do a checkup on your words. In finances, do you use more poverty words than rich words? If you're using more poverty words than rich words, then it's going to be hard to believe God for finances, isn't it? Okay, how did God create the world? Through words. How do we create our world? Through words. The world that we have created for ourselves has been a result of our words. Okay? Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, okay? Jesus is talking, the word is talking here. What things soever you desire. How many have some desires? Okay? When you pray, what are you supposed to do next? Believe what? You're supposed to believe what you you're supposed to believe you receive them. What's the them, the desires that you're talking about? Okay? If I had a desire, and I do, to be wealthy. Everybody say wealth is good. Oh, but I thought money was the root of all evil. Well, you thought wrong. It's the love of money. How many know money is a tool? Just like gasoline is a tool. Imagine if we didn't have any gasoline. What would we do? Walk, ride your bike. That's right. It's just a tool. Okay, if I have a desire for wealth, then when I pray, I have to believe I receive. What does it mean to receive? Okay, let me just give you this example. All right? Let's say Caleb is believing for an iPad. All right? And he's believing, okay, when you pray, you're supposed to believe that what? What are you supposed to believe when you pray? Okay? So spiritually, all right, this is just an example now, okay? You've got to see yourself with your desire already. You've got to see yourself with it. You've got to see yourself having it because the Bible said to believe you receive. It didn't say believe you're going to get it. It says believe you receive. You're supposed to see yourself in your heart. If we were to take a sonogram, it should show a picture of what you're believing for. There should be a clear picture. You know, when you take a sonogram to a pregnant lady, you see an image. There's an image in there. It's got a heartbeat. It moves. So Caleb really wants this iPad. So he's believing that he receives, all right? So since Caleb prayed, and since he received, his proper response should be, Lord, I thank you that I have my iPad, but I don't see it yet. See, receiving has nothing to do with seeing. Receiving has everything to do with believing. Okay? So Caleb is just saying, Lord, I thank you for my iPad. I give you thanks and praise. Thank you for my iPad. And you know what? When he does that for however long, it doesn't matter. Guess what? that iPad is going to get to him somehow, some way. Now, I've used this example before, but it'll fit now. How many has ever ordered a pizza that you've had it delivered to your home? How many of you believe that you receive that pizza once you get off that phone? Some of you probably even set the table. Why are you setting the table? Because you believe you receive, you're getting the pizza that you ordered. How many get upset when that pizza comes 5 minutes late? Oh yeah, you're saying, now you're supposed to deliver it in 30 minutes or less, or I get it free. You guys believe that so strong that when they're 5 minutes late, you're claiming the free pizza. But you believed you received. You started getting ready for that pizza before it ever got there. That's what faith is. All right? Go with me to Genesis 26. A lot of people, well, I don't know if it's a lot of people, but some people, they come up in a healing line or a prayer line, and they get prayer for their sickness. And they walk back, they said, oh, I hope that worked. Well, they're not really believing that they receive it. You've got to believe you receive, and then you'll have. You will not have it until you believe you receive it. You read that scripture. Believe you receive it, and then you shall have it. Okay? Now, in Genesis 26, we see here a story of Isaac. All right? And there was some things that were about to transist in Isaac's life. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Okay? So a famine means scarcity, want, deprivation, and shortage. You don't have to raise your hands, but is there anybody facing a shortage? You got more bills than you have money coming in? You know, you have things that, needs that aren't being met. Okay? You're in a shortage. You're in a famine. But I want you to know that your belief in God can help you in the famine. And what you do in the famine will determine what God will do for you. All right? So how many would like to know what you should do in a famine? Okay, that's a couple of you. How many of you would like to know what to do in a famine? Yes. All right, now we're talking. I'm in the right place now. Okay? Or when you're facing a scarcity or a short supply. You know, a famine could be physical or it could be spiritual. You ever felt like your prayers just don't feel like they went higher than the ceiling of the room you're in? And you feel like you're in a kind of a dry, barren land and you need water, you're in a famine. Okay? Well, God has a way of getting you out of a famine. Now notice what happens to Isaiah. Verse number 2. The Lord appeared unto him and what? Did you know that God's word can get you out of a famine? And you got to hear what God is saying in the midst of a famine so that you have faith to do what's necessary to do. Why did God appear to him and say? Because God needed to build his faith in the famine. He needed to get his eyes off the famine and put them on him. And what a better way. You know, Isaac didn't have a Bible to read. So God had to appear to him, and God had to speak to him. God's appearance and God's voice is the same as us reading the word. It's the same thing, okay? The Lord appeared to him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto you and your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." All right? What was God's instruction to Isaac? Stay here. Don't go to Egypt. Okay? Because when there was a famine in Abraham's day, he went to Egypt. Okay? Isaac could have very well been tempted to leave. How many know that when you're in the midst of a famine, you think that if you change your situation, it'll be better? That's a normal thought, okay? If I'm not having a good time here, but if I change place, guess what? If you don't learn what you need to learn here, you're still going to have to learn it over here. It doesn't matter what place you go to. I'm telling you, I know from experience, if you don't learn what you need to learn here, you're going to have to learn it there. And if you don't learn it there, you're going to have to learn it in the next place. And if you don't learn it here, you're going to have to learn it in the next place. It will be with you until you learn what you need to learn. It doesn't matter where you go. You'll still have to learn what you need to learn. Now, Isaac had to believe what God said. And he had to stop looking at the famine. He had to stop looking at what he was missing. He had to stop looking at what he didn't have. And he had to look to God's word. Okay? And not only did God give him an instruction, he also gave him a promise of what he will do. Is God believable? Was he lying to Isaac? No. As long as Isaac did what God said, he could have what God promised. But he could not have what God promised unless he did what God said. His promises are connected to his words. Okay? So, number one, when you're in the midst of a scarcity or a famine, you need to seek God's voice, wisdom, and instructions. You need to put aside your worry about what you're lacking, and you need to start focusing on God. Okay? Stop focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. You have God's word. You have his creative ability. You have the power to bring miracles to pass. Do you not? You have God's word, don't you? You have God's spirit, don't you? Then you have everything you need to cause a miracle even in the midst of a famine. You've got to seek God's voice, wisdom, and instructions. The Bible says when you ask, what's going to happen? When you seek, what's going to happen? When you knock, what's going to happen? What if you don't ask? If you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, you don't know if the door is going to be open. Okay? Faith is asking, seeking, and knocking, and the results of your faith are getting what you receive, or receiving what you want, finding what you're seeking, and having the door open to you. All right? You got to listen to God's voice. If you seek God diligently, you will find him. The question is, what are you willing to do to seek him? Are you willing to put your busy schedule on hold and take some time to seek God? Sometimes that's necessary. Okay? Number two, the second thing you need to do in a famine is you need to be willing to obey Him over and above your circumstances, your feelings, and the opinions of others. Isaac could have relied on his experience. He could have went down to Egypt just like his daddy did. And if he did that, he would have been out of luck. Of course, I don't believe in luck, but he would have just been out. Okay? He had to seek God. He had to obey God's instruction. Okay, it didn't make natural sense to stay where he was. Why? Because there was a famine. In a famine, there's no crops, there's no water, there's food shortages, there's economic hardship. Well, it doesn't make sense to stay here, but God said, stay here. Okay? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do what God said. Even if it disagrees with what I feel, if it disagrees with what I think, if it disagrees with the opinions of others, I'm going with what God said. That's what true faith is. Okay? So, Isaac stayed there. And, you know, God gave him instructions. Now, disobedience will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll take you further than you want to go. And it'll cause a lot of regret to happen in your life when you disobey God. Okay? So he stayed there. And verse 6, Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And of course, he did the same thing his father did in saying that his wife was his sister to protect him. And Abimelech happened to see Isaac and Rebekah one time, and they were doing what husband and wife does, not what sister and brother does. So he said, you know, she's your wife, isn't she? And he said, yes. And anyway, God protected him. Go down to verse 12. Now, this was after a long time. Maybe the famine was over. We don't know. Or at least I don't know. If Dr. Ron were here, he might know. I want you to look at verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land. In other words, Isaac sowed where God told him to be. How many know that you got to be willing to sow in a famine? If you want to get out of a famine, your seed might be the exit out of your famine. Okay? Notice what happened with this seed. And he received in the same year 100-fold. Now that's pretty good return, isn't it? 100 times the seed that he sowed. So if he sowed 10 seeds, he would have gotten 1,000 back, right? If he'd have sowed 100, he'd have gotten 10,000 back. Is that right? Hopefully my math is correct. And the Lord blessed him. Isn't that what the Lord promised to do? So Isaac followed the instruction, he stayed where God told him to be, and he began to sow where he was, all right? And he reaped in the same year 100-fold. That's supernatural to me. Verse 13, the man waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. So he encountered 3 levels of greatness. Now let me ask you this question. Wasn't Isaac already rich? Wasn't he the heir of Abraham? And wasn't Abraham a wealthy man? So why does Isaac have to develop his own wealth? You cannot trust the wealth of your past. You've got to trust God for you to be wealthy now. Isaac didn't rest on what his father did. He developed his own relationship with God. He developed his own faith. He used his own faith to see the increase happen in his own life, just like it did in his father's. He could have rested on what his father gave him, but he didn't. He listened to God's voice. He heard God's instruction. He obeyed God's word. He waxed great. He went forward and grew until he became very great. I like that. If you want to know how to build wealth, study Isaac. Verse 14, he had possession of flocks. Notice there's an S on the end of that word. That means more than one flock. He had possessions of herds. He had a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. You know you're doing good when your enemy starts to envy you. Okay? And look at verse 16. Abimelech was the king of the Philistines at this time. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than we. Isaac wasn't even a nation. Abimelech was the king of a nation. And he's telling Isaac, look, you need to go. You are mightier than we are. Okay? Isn't it awesome how when you obey God's instruction, what God can do for you in your life? And this all started because he was in the midst of a famine. All right? Third thing that you need to do in a famine is you need to be ready and prepared to follow God's instructions. Isaac was prepared because he was willing to sow in that land. He was willing to sow. You know, if he'd have been in a different place and sowed, he wouldn't have gotten the return that he got. But he was where God told him to be. And because he was where God told him to be, he sowed where God told him to sow. And because he did that, God caused his seed to grow exponentially. Okay? But Isaac was prepared. How many know that sometimes you got to prepare for things? God will lead you in advance. God led Joseph to prepare. He knew that there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. Okay? So what did Joseph do in the times of plenty? He put 20% aside in those good years. He was saving because when the famine hit, all that money that he saved ahead of time, he was able to save Israel and to save all the nations because Egypt was the only place that had grain thanks to Joseph. And actually, if you read the book of Joseph, you read the end of it, he said that God put him there to save his people. So you've got to be ready and you've got to prepare to follow God's instructions. Preparation time is never lost time. Sometimes you have a vision of the miraculous, but God is preparing you. He's preparing your heart. He's preparing your character. He's preparing your faith. He's preparing you so that you can handle it when you get there. It's important to prepare. But it all has to be done by God's leading. You know, through the Word of God, when you have a good relationship with the Lord, did you know that you're prepared for every good work? That means wherever the Lord puts you, you're ready to do good for his kingdom. Okay? So, when you're facing a loss or a shortage of any kind, you've got to do these things. You've got to seek God's voice, his wisdom, and his instructions. You've got to be willing to obey him and over and above your circumstances, your feelings, and the opinions of others, and you've got to be ready and prepared to follow God's instructions. And this is how Isaac's faith got him out of the famine. God appeared to him and said, God built his faith. God gave him instructions, God gave him promises. Isaac obviously believed what he said because he stayed where he needed to be. He didn't go to another location. He didn't change his circumstances. He was, okay, I'm not going by what I know to be true in my natural mind. I'm listening to what God said, and I'm doing this because God said it. Even if it doesn't make sense. Isaac got out of a famine by faith, by what he believed. All right? He was willing to act. You know, when someone really believes something is when they're willing to act like it's so. If you really believe that you're healed, you really stop talking about sickness. You really stop taking ownership. You don't say, this is my sickness. It's not your sickness. Stop. For one thing, stop taking ownership of it. It's not yours. Yes, it's in my body, but it's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. Healing belongs to you. Take possession of healing. Let it reflect in your words. Act like you're healed. Some people need to act like they're happy. God's got answers for you for whatever you face. There's nothing that you face in life that takes God by surprise. But you got to be a believer. Don't look at your circumstances. You got to look to what God says. And your answer has to be, yes, Lord, I believe. Amen? So I believe that I'm in a room full of believers tonight. You're believing God for things. What are you willing to invest in what you believe? You know, now, last time we were together, I asked you if you would get scriptures about your situation. How many people got some scriptures about their situation? And you've been speaking that over your situation, right? Have you seen the difference in your situation? Because God's word works. I want you to make a fresh commitment of faith tonight. I want you to be a people of the Word of God. The Word of God needs to form and fashion your thoughts. It needs to get woven into your heart. It needs to be expressed through your words and your actions. And I want to activate your faith tonight. Some of you need a faith booster. We're going to give you a faith booster tonight. Because what the anointing does, it removes burdens and it destroys yokes. If you have a burden or a yoke on you, it's really hindering you from operating in faith like you need to. All right? It's restricting you. But I believe that tonight God can take all the restrictions off. Amen? Do you believe that? All right. If you need some relief from restrictions, I want you to come up tonight, and I'm going to pray over you. And God is going to touch you. And what he's going to do is he's simply going to energize your faith. You know, the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, You know what builds your faith? Read Jude 20. Building up yourselves, brethren, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Reading God's word builds your faith. Listen, you have got to fall in love with this book. And I don't want to hear any excuse of whether you're a bad reader or whether you like to read or not. Listen, you've got to fall in love with this book. And you've got to eat this word like it's food. Because it is food to your spirit. This feeds your spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? God wants to touch you tonight with his power, and he wants to activate that faith that is in your heart, and he wants to give you a spiritual boost. It's like when you're climbing a big wall and you got someone behind you pushing you over. God wants to push you over tonight in a good way. In other words, he wants to get you over the hump. All right? He wants to just make it easy. Because that's what faith does. Faith makes it easy. Faith removes the toil out of it. Peter fished all night, didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, okay. Jesus used his boat, and as a reward for letting him use his boat, Jesus said, let down your nets over here. And at first he said, okay, Jesus, I've toiled all night and caught nothing. But, everybody say but. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. So I believe God's got a word for you tonight. And his word for you tonight is to believe what he says because it's true. Now, who are those people that need a faith boost tonight? Without delay, I want you to come up here right now in Jesus' name. Things are going to start to come to pass in greater ways. You know, God can speed up the process. How do I know that? Jesus turned water into wine. And wine doesn't even come from water. But he totally bypassed the natural process of making wine, and he sped it up. God's about to turn your water into wine. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you right now that you are turning her water into wine in Jesus' name. Lord, she's being filled up to the brim. In Jesus' name. And Lord, by the time it's taken out from its container and it's brought to where it needs to go, a transformation takes place, Father. A supernatural bypass. In Jesus' name, you're bypassing the normal way of doing things. And God's speeding up the process in Jesus' name. I declare it to be so. You're wondering when things are going to change and how they're going to change. They've been like this for so long. When are they going to change? The change is right now. Right now, because faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give her a right now faith boost in Jesus' name and strengthen her faith. Lord, I thank you that she flows in faith. Lord, increase her faith in the name of Jesus. Let her use that seed of faith, that mustard seed, which springs up into the largest of plants, Father, and it'll grow and flourish and thrive. You've got flourishing, thriving, growing faith in Jesus' name. Father, right now, let her see the power of faith. In the name of Jesus, release the power that's in faith, Father, to bring about things in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're changing her coulda, woulda, shoulda into yes and amen. Hallelujah, yes and amen. All of God's promises are yes and amen. And I thank you, Father, right now that she is a possessor of your promises in Jesus' name. She fights the good fight of faith. She lays hold on eternal life, and she professes a good confession before many witnesses. And Lord, I thank you that she's strong in the Lord. She's strong in the Word and in the power, which is the Holy Ghost. Father, right now, I give you thanks and praise that you increase her strength in this, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's a chemical reaction taking place. You know, walking by faith requires changing from the natural to the supernatural. It's like putting on a new pair of shoes or putting on a new shirt. You live both in the natural and the supernatural, and sometimes it's just taking that step into the unknown and God meeting you where you step. And I thank you right now that God is meeting you. God is meeting you and he's leading you in the name of Jesus. He'll help you get out of the famine. He'll help you get out of the darkness. He'll help you to quit wandering around and wondering why. He'll show you the way, because he is the way maker. He's the way, the truth, and the life in the name of Jesus. Just listen to what he says and do what he says, and it'll be okay and it'll be all right, says the Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, just strengthen him right now in his faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Can all things be possible to them that believe? Yes, yes, all things are possible to them that believe. Every impossibility is being removed. The I am is being removed, and what's left is the possibility. God is making the possible happen to you. He's opening doors in Jesus' name. He's moving in mighty ways. Oh, in Jesus' name, I gave you thanks and praise for strengthening her right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabakasonda Rabakasanda Rabakasanda Rabakasanda. Hielabatokusanda. Everything that you've heard over the years has been a deposit. God has made some deposits of his word on the inside of you. And I pray, Father, right now that your word becomes alive. You bring to remembrance everything that you've told her, everything that you've spoken to her. In the name of Jesus, remind her. And Lord, I thank you that she loses sight of the circumstances, but she sees the glory of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, open her eyes so that she can see greater things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. You get hungry in the natural, and you run for the source of food. But God's got food for you to eat that'll feed your spirit. It'll feed your spirit when you hear it. And when you hear it, you'll see it. And when you see it, you'll do it. And when you do it, you'll run with it in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Father, for causing him to hunger and thirst after your righteousness in the name of Jesus. Oh, break out your shovel and dig into the word and reach its depths. Find its treasures, discover its goodness, and taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. You've tasted and you've seen, but now we've got to strengthen it. We've got to build on it. We've got to get more in it in the name of Jesus. God's about to give you a dump truck load of his goodness, Father, in Jesus' name. It's pulling up right now. Oh, hallelujah, Father. I thank you that he is a believer. He's a receiver of good things in Jesus' name. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. You're not a fainter, you're not a quitter, but you're a fighter. And you fight the good fight of faith. That means you win just by showing up in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now. You slay the giants. You're a giant slayer. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Siti Alababa Batokosanda. Father, in the name of Jesus, she is the dynamite. We light the fuse of the dunamis power of God. Let it explode right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Rebasiti ala batoku sandala mama mama. Oh, Rebasiti ala mama mama. Oh, Rebakasandala batakasanda. Oh, Rebakasanda. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he lays aside the weights. Lord, the things that get too heavy to carry, the things that try to weigh him down and hinder his race.